Asia from Masdar and Minpari Tech, and she will present a comparison between estimate of the sulfur-dwelling solar radiation irradiance obtained with the MACLEAR and the HelioClean 3.
Yep. Thank you, David. Okay, so let me start. So I'll be presenting a comparison between the estimates of the surface downwelling solar irradiances under cloud-free skies extracted from the MACLEAR and HelioClean 3 services over Egypt. And this work is a collaboration between a number of entities. We have Bourssaïd University from Egypt, University of Paris East from France, Minpari Tech, France, Egyptian Meteorological Authority, the German Weather Bureau, Cairo University, and Masdar Institute. So first, Egypt, they plan to install a capacity of 2.3 gigawatts of solar power plants by 2017. This is a very recent plan, and just last year they have implemented a feed-in tariff scheme. Here, so basically for the large-scale PV plants, they'll be either 13.6 cents per kilowatt hour or 14.3 cents per kilowatt hour. Now, of course, the investors would require time series of the surface solar irradiance in Egypt, and there are basically seven stations managed by the Egyptian Meteorological Authority having high quality measurements of the surface solar irradiance. So here are the seven stations. However, of course, if you're gonna build your plant at a site which has no measurements, then you need to resort to models. So in this case, we are resorting to the HelioClean 3 and MACLEAR databases, which provide the estimates of the surface solar irradiance at the click of a button. So basically, they're available at web services. All you have to do is input your coordinates, your time period of interest, the integration period of the solar radiation, and you have your estimates. It's that simple. Okay. So the HelioClean 3 database, it exploits the Heliosat 2 method, which basically is applied on the Meteosat satellite images to provide estimates of the GHI. So basically, the estimates are available for the field of view of Meteosat. And over Egypt, the spatial resolution is between 3.5 and 4 kilometers. Okay? And the SI estimates are updated in a near real-time manner and stored in a database. And as I said, it's available as a web service on this website. And in this case, we tested two different versions of the HelioClean 3 database. So we have the HelioClean 3 version 4. In this case, it exploits the European Solar Radiation Atlas, or ESRA, Clear Sky model. And this model, it depends on monthly climatological means of the linked turbidity factor. And then there is the HelioClean 3 version 5. In this case, it exploits the MACLEAR Clear Sky model. Now, MACLEAR here, it denotes both the Clear Sky model, the database, and the web service. Okay. So as I said, it's a physical model based on lookup tables and interpolation functions to reproduce the Libra-Tran surface solar irradiance estimates, but at a much faster rate, hence its operational capacity. And the inputs to MACLEAR are, we have the total column content in water vapor. This one is from the monitoring atmospheric composition and climate dataset. We have the total column content in ozone, which is also from the MAC dataset. We have the aerosol optical depth at 550 nanometers, also from the MAC dataset. We have the angstrom coefficient, which is computed from the MAC AUD at 550 nanometers and the MAC AUD at 1240 nanometers. And the aerosol type, which is selected from the partial AUDs, which is also available from the MAC dataset. And other inputs are the solar zenith angle, the atmospheric profile, the altitude of the site, and the elevation of the sensor above ground level, and the ground albedo. And it's also available as a web service on this website. So the objective here is to compare the validation results of the global horizontal irradiance, the GHI, the direct normal irradiance, the DNI, extracted from both the MACLEAR and HelioClean 3 databases under cloud-free conditions in Egypt. Okay, so the ground measurements are basically hourly irradiation, and we converted them into hourly mean of irradiance, expressed in watts per meter squared. We applied a set of quality control procedures on the ground measurements to retain only the high quality data. In fact, we spent some time on those quality control procedures, and we are currently preparing a short note, and we will make those measurements available. So if you're interested, you can contact me. And then we apply the cloud screening algorithm on the measurements, which have passed the quality control procedures to retain only cloud-free hours. And then we temporally and spatially match the ground measurements to the respective hourly estimates from the MacLear HiliClim 3 version 4 and HiliClim 3 version 5 databases. Okay. So as I said, the temporal step of the measurements is 1 hour. Time period of interest here for this study is from 2004 to 2009. And here are the 7 stations. All stations have GHI and DHI measurements, whereas only Cairo and Aswan have DNI measurements. And for all stations, the GHI was measured by the EPLI precision spectral pyranometer. And for Cairo, some measurements were carried out by the Kippenzonen CM11 pyranometer. For the DNI, both for Cairo and Aswan, the measurements were carried out by the EPLI normal incidence per helimeter. For Cairo, some measurements were carried out by the Kippenzonen CH1 perihelimeter. And for all stations, the DHI was measured by the EPLI 848 pyranometer. Here we have the altitude above mean sea level for all 7 stations. Basically, no station has a very high altitude. The highest one is Aswan, which is only 192 meters. Here we have the number of samples which are classified as which have passed the quality checks, and in parentheses, they're the ones which are classified as cloud-free. Okay. So here are the results. So for the GHI, here we have the relative root mean square error for the 7 stations for the 3 services. MacLear is in blue, HiliClim 3 version 4 is in red, and HiliClim 3 version 5 is in green. And basically, we see that for all the databases, the RBC is between 5 to 15% for all 7 stations, and based on the RMC only, no specific database stands out. I mean, they're both more or less giving very similar results. But when we look at the relative bias here for the 3 databases, we see that MacLear is overestimating the GHI for all 7 stations, whereas for HiliClim 3 version 4 and HiliClim 3 version 5, the bias is between plus minus 5%. And basically, HiliClim 3, I mean, not one database stands out, but there is an overestimation in MacLear. Here are some examples of the scatter density plots. I selected the case with the largest coefficient of determination, the case with the smallest coefficient of determination. So the one with the largest coefficient of determination was MacLear GHI for the Matruh station. And here, the scatter density plot, the red dots correspond to the regions with high densities of samples, the blue dots correspond to regions with very low densities of samples. And basically here, the bias is plus 9%, the RMC is 10%, and the correlation coefficient is 0.982. We also have the identity line, the least squares affine regression, the first component of principal component analysis, and the robust affine regression. What's interesting about this curve is that you see that the slopes are basically almost equal to 1, and the bias is more or less constant throughout. So this implies that the standard deviation of deviations is very low for this station, but the bias is high. And then, for the case of Kharga here we have the HiliClim 3 version 4 GHI versus the ground measured GHI. In this case, the bias is negative 5%, the RMC is 13%, and the correlation coefficient is 0.821. What's interesting here is that we have 2 regions with high densities of samples, and I'll get to why we have them in a couple of slides. So here is the standard deviation of deviations, the relative standard deviation of deviations for the 7 stations for the 3 services. And as observed in Matruh in the previous slide, it's also observed for all stations. So basically, MacLear is providing the lower standard deviation of deviations for all stations, but the bias is higher for all stations as well. Here we have some residual analysis for the case of Kharga, which I just showed. So here we have the HiliClim 3 version 4 minus the reference GHI versus the solar azimuth angle. And here we see that basically we have a very high underestimation for the largest and smallest solar azimuth angles. And those usually, they do correspond to those months, summer and early autumn months. And one theory on why we're having this high underestimation is basically because it could be due to abnormally high albedo at certain sun positions. So in that case, the Heliosat model would detect this as a cloud, and which would be why we are underestimating this GHI in these cases. So that's one theory. And then here we have the DNI results for the two stations with DNI measurements. So the relative RMSE for the two stations, we see that MacLear provides the lower RMSE, whereas the HeliClim 3 version 4 and HeliClim 3 version 5 are basically interchangeable for those two stations. Not one single database stands out. And for the relative bias, MacLear also provides the better bias for the two stations with DNI measurements. And again, for the HeliClim 3 version 4 and HeliClim 3 version 5, not a single database stands out to be better in terms of the bias. Here are the scatter density plots for the MacLear DNI estimates for the two stations. So here we have the MacLear DNI for Aswan versus the reference DNI. And in this case, the bias is only -2%. The RMSE is 8%. The correlation coefficient is 0.728. The correlation coefficient in this case might be a bit low because basically all the data are basically compact in a small interval. And this is due to the cloud screening algorithm applied. So basically, more or less, they have similar values. And for Cairo, we have the MacLear DNI versus the reference DNI. And in this case, the bias is +4%, the RMSE is 13%. The correlation coefficient, again, is very low at 0.205. But this is, again, for the same reason that more or less all the selected cloud-free hours have similar DNI values. Now, here are some residual analysis for the MacLear DNI. We have the MacLear DNI minus the reference DNI versus the solar azimuth angle. What's interesting here is that for the smallest and largest solar azimuth angle, which are corresponding to these summer months, there's an underestimation. So this could imply an overestimation in the MAC AOD estimates during the summer months for this station, whereas throughout the rest of the year, negligible bias. Okay? And we have previously observed over the desert environment of Abu Dhabi that the MAC dataset overestimates the AOD approximately by 26% when compared to 16 AeroNet stations in the UAE. So, conclusions. MacLear provides the more accurate estimates of the DNI for the two stations with such measurements. For the GHI, the performances of the HeliClim 3 version 4 and the HeliClim 3 version 5 are very similar, and they always provide the better bias. However, MacLear exhibits the lower standard deviation of deviations, but for this study area and this study period, there is a non-negligible bias which needs to be addressed. And for all sky conditions, which are not presented here, HeliClim 3 version 4 and version 5 exhibit also similar performances. The next steps is to validate the MAC AOD and total column content in water vapor for the whole MENA region. We've already carried out a study for the United Arab Emirates, and in this case we want to apply it for the whole MENA region. And we also need to test for all sky conditions the performances of the Heliosat 4 method, which is based on the MacLear Clear Sky model and the physical model MacCloud. And also the Ensemble Artificial Neural Network model, which is a statistical model exploiting the severe images to provide the estimates of the GHI, DNI, and DHI. Then based on all those results, a specific model or a combination of models will be used in the development of the Solar Atlas of Egypt, which is the end objective of this collaboration. And this will be a contribution to the IRENA Global Atlas. That's it. In this current stage, they're only looking at PV for those 2.3 gigawatts.
So what you are interested in the direct normal radiation?
If you want to compute the global tilt radiance, basically you need the global, the DNI, the DHI, and the GHI, and the ground albedo. So,
other questions?
Well, in Cairo.
Yes,
Cairo, actually, we have some preliminary results on the MAC AUD over Cairo. We have an aeronaut station in Cairo, and it really does not agree with other desert environments where we observe an overestimation of the AUD. And Cairo is actually a very slight underestimation, so it does not agree with the other desert the other aeronaut stations located in desert environments, which we have checked. So, yeah. Cairo is a bit, it's a mix of pollution and desert and Nile Valley and vegetation, so it's a complicated city. For Cairo?
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't call it complex, no. Okay. But there are very lots of high buildings and lots of pollution and the cars, but the terrain is not complex, no.
I had the occasion to use the Cairo and Aswan data some years ago, and I was overwhelmed by the number of bad data in that. So I assume you did a good quality control of the data, and how much data had you to remove from the data set?
Cairo? Well, basically for the stations which have available GHI, DNI, and DHI measurements, we run the checks on each component separately, and then the consistency check for the three components together. So the GHI computed from the DNI and DHI, and compared with the measured GHI, and if I remember correctly, it was maybe around 50% past the consistency check and all the procedures. Yeah. And I think you came late, but I mentioned that we are preparing a short note on the a description of the data sets, the quality check procedures we applied, and basically we'll make it public so anyone could use it. But yeah, it was around, if I remember correctly, it was around 50%. But we had some trouble because basically they were reporting the measurements at the beginning of the hour, not the end of the hour, which was a bit of a misunderstanding in the beginning. But we fixed it.
We have time for more questions.